Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, November 17th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 99, the third paragraph, "Let no alcoholic say he cannot recover." We'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Kathy B. will be reading the 12 steps, Patty L. reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Kara L., Laura W., and Stephen G. The share ID for Tuesday, November 16th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 18,088. That's 18,088. And for this morning's Wednesday, November 17th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, share ID is 18,092. That's 18,092. Our newcomer greeter for today is Lois B., and Leslie M. will be making the announcement. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Kathy B. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. I'm Kathy B. I live in Oklahoma, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service this morning.
Thank you, Kathy B. And Patty L., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Hi, good morning. My name is Patty L. I'm a compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Excuse me. Excuse me, I'm choking right now. I don't don't know if somebody else can take it.
Stephen, do you have that handy?
Stephen G., do you want me to take over?
Yes, please. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay. Sorry, we're doing the
traditions.
So I'm just have to doing this up on my phone. One second. I'll do it quickly, okay? If I can't, I'll have to pass. What tradition did we get to?
I think start on 4.
Tradition 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, and our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 99, the third paragraph that begins with "Let no alcoholic say he cannot recover." And good morning, Kara L., if you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Let no alcoholic say he cannot recover unless he has his family back. That just isn't so. In some cases, the wife will never come back for one reason or another. Remind the prospect that his recovery is not dependent upon people. It is dependent upon his relationship with God. We have seen men get well whose families have not returned at all. We have seen others slip when the family came back too soon. Good morning. My name is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And it's such a good reminder for me today of my program and where my, priorities are in my program. I can get really, really focused on the people around me. I can get focused on what they're doing. I can get focused on what's happening at work. I can get focused on all those things. But here it reminds me that my recovery is not dependent upon people, it's dependent upon my relationship with God, right? Or my higher power. And what does that look like? And sometimes I have to remind myself that, okay, my relationship with my higher power, what does that look like? am I putting time into that relationship? Is that, you know, do I listen? Do I talk open and freely? Do I not hide the truths that I think are only for me to know? You know, do I turn to my higher power and say, what do you think? I try to do that today because I know that when I do that, then all those things I was focusing on, the people around me, the job, the everything that was around me, that all settles into place when my relationship with my higher power is first. When I turn to my higher power and say, I don't know. Please give me intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. I just don't know how to do this. And when I do that, then everything else settles. And life is just easy and beautiful. It's just the remembering. And I'm really excited to hear what everyone else has said on this paragraph. It's a beautiful paragraph. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kara, for getting us started this morning. Okay, we're on page 99, the third paragraph. Let no alcoholic say he cannot recover. And if you have not shared in the last 3 days, we ask that you stay back so that other people can share their experience too. So if you haven't shared on Monday or Tuesday and you'd like to share, I'm ready for your name.
Carol K.
Carol K.
Laura W.
Laura W.
Sandy K.
Sandy K.
Veronica B.
Veronica B.
Elaine B.
Elaine B. And we'll stop there. Okay, so Carol K., Laura W., Sandy K., Veronica B., and Elaine B. Go ahead, please, Carol. Good morning.
Hi, this is Carol K. in New Jersey. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Hi. You know, I love this these few sentences here, that we don't depend upon people. We depend upon God. And when I first came in 2015, I was depending on my sponsors. I was looking at them. I don't know if I was looking at them like they were God himself. I don't think so. But I was looking at them like they were powerful. And what I've learned today, and I'm still learning, but what I've learned today regarding these two sentences is that, no, a sponsor is not powerful. They are more educated than a newcomer, because a newcomer never read the book like I once was, right? And our job to sponsor others, that from what I see today, is that we're a guide. We're just guiding the newcomer through the book. That's our job to do this. And to help them to have a relationship with God, to try to show them the best of our knowledge, the best way that we can to do this. Because if we're going to depend upon our sponsors, then that's starting with group support. If we don't have that relationship with God, then that's not recovery, because that is recovery. Recovery equals our relationship with God, because God is doing for me today what I couldn't do for myself, which is put the food down, work the steps, and work this program. Now, I'm not saying that we don't need the tools. I think the tools are great. Making outreach calls, calling newcomers, calling other people who are recovered. This is all good. Going to meetings. I don't know about anybody else on this line, but I can only speak for myself. I need these things in my life, because if I don't use the tools, I'm probably going to go down, because then I'm going to isolate. But at the end of the day, we don't depend upon sponsors, people, anybody. We need to depend upon God, and that is recovery. With that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Carol K. in New Jersey. And Laura W., good morning. You're up, followed by Sandy K.
Good morning, Kathleen. Hi, everybody. Good morning. It's Laura W., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. I love this paragraph. Yeah, you know, every paragraph in this book brings me back to God, my higher power. You know, it reminds me, you know, it tells us job or no job, wife or no wife. we simply can't recover unless we place dependence upon God first. And this is what it's repeating. And I love that the writers of this book, they do repeat themselves. And that tells me, you know, hey, listen up, attention, attention. And, you know, his recovery is not dependent upon people. It's dependent upon his relationship with God. And that's entirely what this whole book is about, you know, to develop and establish a relationship with God. And, you know, self-reliance was what I lived by. And self-reliance is a liability, especially for an addict. And, you know, it's dependent upon my relationship with God. The first few steps get me right with God. They're in order for a reason, these steps, because the first few steps isn't talking about go out and make amends or even get right with yourself. It's about get right with God. Then you can get right with yourself. Then you can get right with other people. So, you know, they're written so specifically in a way that will work. It will work. There's conditions, though. You know, it's condition. The condition here is that unless, you know, it talks about his recovery is not dependent on God. You know, we have seen others slip when the family came back too soon. And people share all the time that it doesn't matter who my sponsor is. They could be the you know, OA guru, but unless I'm right with God, that person's not going to be able to help me. I need to let go of that desire every day to run the show. And it tells us, you know, we constantly remind ourselves we're no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, thy will be done. Well, who is thy? Well, my higher power is thy, you know, and that's, again, we pause and agitate it throughout the day and we ask, who do we ask? We don't ask our sponsors necessarily. We ask God. And that's what I have to do first. I have to ask God. And if I still can't find the answers, then I go to my sponsor. I'm not calling my sponsor 15 times a day with 10 steps. I have to go to God first. And then if I'm still not able to, you know, be directed to the right answer, then I go to, you know, another human being. It's all about my relationship with God. When God is right, I could be, you know, live on the ice cap of Alaska and get this program and recover gratefully and humbly. And thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. in New Jersey. And Sandy K., good morning. You're up, followed by Veronica B.
Good morning. This is Sandy K. in South Florida. A compulsive overeater in recovery for today. Let no alcoholic say he cannot recover unless he has his family back. Well, I can change that sentence to let no alcoholic say he cannot recover unless he has the perfect job or until his children are, you know, sober or well, you know, unless he has the perfect car. I mean, there's a plethora of reasons why I can overeat. But as everybody before me said, if my relationship with my higher power is right, I'm not going to take advantage, quote unquote, of those opportunities to eat. There really is no good reason. I know lots of people who have overeaten for so many different things. I have had two relapses. One was 4 years after I was in recovery. My father had passed away. And why did I have a relapse? I stopped having my connection with my higher power. I just couldn't sit down and meditate. And that's really when it started. And then after 30 odd years of being in program, I relapsed. My mother died. And I pulled away. I started pulling away from my higher power when she was sick. I didn't wait for her to pass away. It just got worse then. But I know lots of people who have had death in their families and they didn't relapse. You know, I've been through divorces and career changes and location moves. And just like everybody else, I've been through life. I mean, you can't be in program for too long without life happening. And it's what do I do with it? I have to stay with my higher power. And I mean, I've been in recovery for quite a few years now, but I can remember what I did. I just let go of my higher power. And honestly, what's that expression? I came for the vanity, I stayed for the sanity. I don't ever want to go back. And even though I don't want to lose all that weight I had, I don't want to gain all that weight I had lost, the weight's on the bottom of my list. My bliss, my joy, my my higher power, that's on the top of my list. I don't want to have to let go of that again. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sandy K. in Florida. And Veronica B., you're up, followed by Elaine B. Good morning, Veronica.
Good morning. I'm Veronica. I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimic. And thank you, Kathleen, for your service. This is a great reminder for me that I have to remind the newcomer or anyone that I'm working with, for that matter, that prospect that his recovery is not dependent upon people. It is dependent upon his relationship with God. For me, all the work that I've done up until today is all about getting this relationship with God. It's about deepening my connection with God. All my life, I felt very uncomfortable in my own skin, so I used food to feel that comfort. And I was dependent on certain foods to get me through the day. And today, I'm dependent on God to get me through the day. That is what this work has resulted in for me. I feel the presence of God today. I know that deep down inside, He lives within me. And for me, I like to call God love, everlasting love. The way I feel about my life today is I'm in love with my life today. And that's a direct result of working the steps, getting this relationship with God, where I have this freedom today that I can't explain. I could only tell you that the things that I used to eat over, I don't eat over those things anymore. I used to have dependence on people and what they thought of me and how they were treating me, and I would be in relationships with unhealthy men, and I used to put dependence on all that. All that has changed for me today. Today I have dependence on God, and that's for me where my freedom lies and where I get the freedom to be myself. Because the closer I am to my God, the more authentic I could be in my skin, comfortable in my own skin, regardless of what's going on around me. You know, my circumstances have not changed. You know, I still live in the same apartment. I still live in the same city and same family. I have changed, though. God has rearranged my thinking, my heart, and I approach life today differently, and that's because I know I have God's help. I know that I'm protected and taken care of because of this relationship that I have with God, and I have to continuously take a lot of action. Every day I have to take action to connect with God, and every morning I come to believe, and every day I have to make a decision that God is everything or He is nothing. What is my choice to be? And I am just so grateful for my recovery today, and thank you everyone who's on the line and being of service. Have a nice day.
Thank you, Veronica B. in California. And before we take Elaine B. in Massachusetts, just a reminder, we're on page 99 this morning, the third paragraph that begins with, "Let no alcoholic say he cannot recover." And I'll be picking some names after Elaine. So good morning, Elaine.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service, Kathleen, on these amazing shares. This is Elaine B., recovered compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. And extraordinarily grateful for this book, this paragraph, and the promise that follows tomorrow. Let no alcoholic say he cannot recover unless he has dot, 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 fill in the blank. What is it for you? The title, the job, that relationship I hope for with my spouse, with my child, with my grandchild, with my neighbor, with my coworker? Is it that house that I always wanted, that you know, the measurements I always wanted on my body? What is it? What is it that I'm looking to for a sense of ease and comfort, a sense of security? Well, you know, the second meeting I came to on a vision for you, I heard someone say, we used to get our ease and comfort from food. Now we get our ease and comfort from God. And what I found that was behind the food, when I got the food in order, there were other things I was looking to get my ease and comfort. How can I stay recovered? How can I stay sane? How can I get ease and comfort if my wife isn't there, if I don't have enough money in the bank, if my health isn't perfect, if I don't have, you know, if I can't fit into size 10 jeans? All of those different things that I've looked to as a source, as I've looked to say I'm okay. And one of the things is all of those things are like shifting sand. So I keep thinking about this song. I don't even remember what show it was for, but the opening song said, "People, let me tell you about my best friend." That's what I've needed to do, is to find ease and comfort in the unchanging, everlasting, all-powerful, all-knowing, past, present, and future, all for me, loving higher power that has met me when I'm down. It doesn't always meet me right at the moment, but this step work has cleared the way of helping me see that it's all about building this relationship, this dependence, really, on a power greater than myself, to make that be my source of ease and comfort. And I've, you know, I'm also in another program, and, you know, I've often look to work to find a way to be approved, you know. But now it's like I want to get my approval not from bosses, not from spouses, not from other family members or people or community members. I really want to get it from my loving higher power. I want to please God. I want to follow God. I want to know God. And I love how we're taught all throughout the day, your will not mine be done. How will I know unless I ask? How will I hear unless I wait? And so I love this encouragement to build that relationship, because that will help with every relationship. And I will pass with that.
Thank you, Elaine B. in Massachusetts. Okay, we're on page 99, the third paragraph, let no alcoholic say he cannot recover. And if you haven't shared Monday or Tuesday and you'd like to share this morning, I'll take your name.
Sherry K.
Roger B. Larry G.
I heard
Roger
Sherry
V.
B. Okay.
Roger V.
I heard Sherry K. B., Larry K., Roger V. Who did I miss?
Hiya P.
Even
do that again?
Hiya P.
Hiya P. and Stephen G.
Shannon C.
Marie B.
And Shannon. Who is the last one?
Marie B.
Marie B. Okay, I don't know if we're going to have time for all of you, but thank you for stepping up. So I have Sherry K. B., Larry K., Roger B., Stephen. I forgot your initial Stephen, but I'll remember in a second. Hiya P., Shannon C., and Marie B. So go ahead, please, Sherry K. B. Sherry, can you star one to unmute?
I was going right, talking away. Good morning. This is Sherry K. B. in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Kathleen O. and Team Wednesday and everybody on the line. And welcome, newcomers. You know, to me, this is one of the most important sentences in the book that remind the prospect that his recovery is not dependent upon people. It is dependent upon his relationship with God. And, you know, when I work with people, my basic thing about them is putting them in their higher
school
power
is
state.
Such a drag. Last week,
hello?
I got suspended for doing what I...
Hello? Oops. Okay. Are you still there? Can you hear me?
Yes, keep going, Sherry.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry. That was interesting. That was a drag, man. Okay, so, you know, the point being that I when I'm working with people, I always talk about, you know, that my job is to get them to rely on their higher power, not on me, that they can get support from me but not rely on me. And so when they ask me about, well, what do you think about this, Sherry, what do you think about that, I always say, well, why don't you take into your quiet time and ask your higher power what they think. Or when they need to make a decision, I say, you know, not your decision by yourself, but your decision with your higher power. And I keep, you know, just drilling that in constantly throughout the time that I take somebody through the work. And you know, it just is amazing what happens. And in my own life, you know, I really
school is such
that,
a drag. Last
when,
week I got suspended for doing what I do.
Anyhow, when my higher power, when I fully rely on my higher power, like I know that my peace and serenity is totally reliant on my relationship with my higher power and not the behaviors of other people or even people that come on the line and say strange things. And I just know what freedom that is and what a relief it is and just building that relationship with my higher power and handing that to other people. And I'll never forget a sponsee saying, you know, you drilled that into my head so much, Sherry, that, you know, that it worked, it helped, you know, and it's trusting that higher power and believing in that higher power and cultivating that relationship with the higher power on a daily basis. I just know that I hit another level of awareness of how insane my life has been when I was in self-reliance and not relying on God, because self-reliance fails me every time. When I rely on my higher power, I ask my higher power to go with me to take care of some things or to meet me in the room when I have to talk to somebody or when I'm going through something. I ask my higher power, and I get such relief. It's just amazing. And I'm talking on a spiritual level, you know, that cultivating that relationship, because that's one of the most important things that I can do, and I'll pass. Thank you so much, Kathleen.
And thank you, Sherry KB in California. And Larry, you are up, followed by Roger V. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Kathleen. This is Larry G from California. And welcome all the newcomers on this call today. Gosh, I was an adult child before I became a compulsive eater or an alcoholic. I bring that woundedness into this program, into sponsorship. The need to be acknowledged, the need to be approved, the need to be loved, all of that I bring into this program, and thank God for an outside program I get to go to and work on that. And I would lay that on people I would sponsor in the past, not so much anymore. I go to God now to be approved, for approval. I go to God for comfort, for acknowledgement, for attention. Whatever I'm needing in that moment, I go to God. I think, you know, my personal opinion is this, that it doesn't matter why we come in here. If our families are estranged, we're being fired, our wives, husband, boyfriend, girlfriends are leaving us. That's great motivation, I think, because none of us come in here on a winning streak. And I'm not going to beat the person over the head with this paragraph saying, you know, no, you're here for you, not for the family. Well, of course they're here for the family. They want to get back with their family, wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands. It's a powerful motivator. But I think somewhere in the steps, if that person does go through steps, even though they're strange, like I have gone through the steps, I think somewhere like around step 7, we begin to see that we have to shift our dependence on others, people, places, and things in God. At least that worked for me. I've been coming around a long time, and I have to remember that I have an experience differential than a newcomer coming in this program. And I've had really good sponsors in the past, really, and I've got a great sponsor in this program that teaches me how to show up as a guide, as a honorable man, a sober man in this program that is not seeking approval, acknowledgement, or attention from the person I'm sponsoring. I like the fact my sponsor in this program doesn't try to sell anything to me. You know, listen to this pre-recording on what entire absence is, Larry. Listen to this recording on surrender. Go talk to this person about this situation. It teaches me that I'm not dependent upon my sponsor. And I believe, this is what I believe, that God speaks to these people. That God speaks to my intuitive voice when I'm quiet enough and I listen intently. God speaks to that intuitive voice like God spoke to me on Monday. I was in fear and I gave a 10th step and I got a message. And also God speaks to me through other people. And so being a sponsor is the last living connection we have with the original 100 pioneers. It's just one alcoholic, one drunk, one compulsive eater working with another, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry G. in California. And Roger V., you're up, followed by Stephen G. Go ahead, Roger.
Roger, compulsive overeater, currently calling you from Van Nuys, California. Wow, this is a brilliant read. You know, how many times have I talked to the newcomer and they said, you know, I have problems with my wife. I have problems with my girlfriend. You know, as it's been pointed out, pick out your du jour, the job, et cetera, et cetera. We all have circumstances. You know, today I don't eat over circumstances. The book says God is not a bush league pinch hitter. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm grateful that I'm a drug addict, alcoholic, compulsive overeater in recovery, because if I wasn't, I would have had no reason to find God. You know, I thought I was God. And, you know, like Sinatra said, I did it my way. I wound up in OA. You know, my way didn't work. If my way still would work, then I wouldn't need God or the program or you or my fellows. And today, you know, like the book says, God is either everything or nothing. What is our choice to be? And it also says we don't apologize for God. You know, I call it God, call it higher power, call it whatever you want. But there's a power greater than myself that has restored me to sanity. But for the grace of God, go I. You know, it's, you know, I couldn't stop eating. And, you know, that was taken away from me root and branch. You know, if you had told me on December 1st of 2018, tomorrow you're not going to eat any more pizza, burritos, lox and bagels, tacos, etc., I would have told you you were effing crazy. And God did for me what I couldn't do for myself. And that's how it went down. So I'm eternally grateful for that, and I never want to forget that. You know, sometimes what I do now, if I'm having a hard time, I think it was last year on Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve or something, I made a meal and I said, God, let's have dinner together. And I had dinner with God because, you know, people, we're all human. People will always let us down, but God will never leave me nor forsake me. You know, the license plate cover on my car, at the top it says, does God seem far away? And at the bottom it says, guess who moved? You know, when, you know, people say on such and such date, God willing, I'll have X amount of time. Oh, believe me, it's my opinion. God is willing. It's us that get in the way and take our will back. So Thanksgiving is next Thursday. If you're feeling squirrely, if, you know, family triggers you, whatever, lean into the program, lean into God, take somebody's number out yourself, because I don't want to compulsively overeat on Thanksgiving. Another name for Thanksgiving is Thursday. You know, I want to have three abstinent meals next Thursday, and I'm grateful to be here today. I'm about to go into a doctor's appointment, and this is a perfect way to start my morning. I'm Roger in California. With that, I'm out and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger V. in California. And Stephen G., you're up, followed by Haya P.
Good morning. Thank you. Stephen G., I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Canada. Such good shares today. I don't think I have that much to add that's different. But this is such a great paragraph, which really summarizes the whole book. You know, it says here, let no alcoholic say he cannot recover unless he has his family back. And, you know, once we get to the recovered state, it's also telling me that I can stay peaceful in this recovered state no matter what is happening around me to finite things, whether that be people, places, events, even my own body, health, physical safety. I can stay peaceful. That's a promise, spiritual reality, spiritual truth. That's not what I was taught for my whole life, and that's not the way I thought my whole life. But it's telling me that I can achieve that. And how can I achieve that? It says dependence upon a relationship with God. And the book is going to show me how to do that. I get guided from step 1 through 9. And then it becomes my responsibility
to continue to take personal inventory in step 10 and unblock myself. And then in step 11, improve my relationship with God in the morning, throughout the day, and at night. And then in step 12, it tells me how to stay connected to God by giving back what I've received by carrying this message and also by practicing these principles in all my affairs. That's how I keep a relationship with God. And if I do that, then finite external things, regardless what's happening, I can stay peaceful. That's a miracle. And I'm so grateful for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen G. in Toronto, Canada. And Haya P., good morning. You're up, followed by Shannon C.
Hi, everybody. This is Haya P. I'm gratefully recovered from compulsive overeating, bulimia, and restricting here in Colorado. It's been a great meeting, and welcome to anyone who's new. Really welcome, welcome. I love this piece. In fact, I love this paragraph because it has the shortest sentence in the book, which is nonsense. Right? He clamors for this or that, saying he cannot master alcohol or for us food until his material needs are cared for. Nonsense. Job or no job, wife or no wife. And again, everyone has said so much, and it's been wonderful listening. But I guess what I was thinking about was my role as a sponsor and, you know, making sure that that we work together to bring God in, but that is always clearly the mission, the goal, the point, that it's not about turning to me or anyone else for that matter, but really always pointing to God. I remember many years ago, I don't know if I made this up or I heard this somewhere, but I would say, you know, when you're looking for a sponsor, you don't want a sponsor that's going to point you to them. You don't want a sponsor that's going to point you to you. You want a sponsor that's going to point you to God. And so it's so great to be, it's just so clear, right? It's so clear that it's telling me no matter what. And I guess the other thing I was thinking about when I was listening to everyone was, you know, I think about the concept of like unconditional love and what that means and just what we, you know, throw around that term unconditionally. And that's what this is saying here, that my willingness to recover is unconditional. Actually, I had one condition when I spoke to my sponsor. I said, I'm willing to do anything you tell me except leave my religion, which actually I came back to as a result of the step. So she said, good news, hi, you don't have to leave your religion. And just for the newcomer, you don't have to have a religion, you don't have to leave your religion, you don't have to believe in religion. Like, that's completely, totally irrelevant, but it was important to me. But again, I don't know, maybe I would have said, I'm willing to do that too. I don't know, but good news is I didn't have to do that. But the point was, it was like unconditional, right? It was unconditional. It was like, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do because I'm out of ideas. So I love the next paragraph coming in. So yeah, I'm grateful to be here again. Welcome to anyone who's new. Keep coming back. Thanks.
Thank you, Haya P. in Colorado. And Shannon C., you're up, followed by Marie B. Good morning, Shannon.
Good morning. This is Sharon C. from Louisville, Kentucky. I don't share very often, but I had this urge to talk about the hole in my soul, the one that I kept filling with alcohol and food and things, going shopping and buying things I couldn't afford, always wanting and wishing for more, always wanting to be more than I am. I'm a retired opera singer, and I couldn't get enough glory from my performances and from my audiences. It was just always wanting more. And I realize now, thanks to this program and another one, that it's God that I've wanted all along. it's the Holy Spirit. And it must be said again, but for the grace of God, there go I. Because I would have been one of those eaters today. And today I am recovery for today. Thank you and bless everyone that is on this line. This is Sharon C. in Louisville, Kentucky. Goodbye.
Thank you, Sharon C. in Kentucky. And Marie B., good morning. Go ahead, please.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for your service and welcome to all the newcomers out there. This paragraph, it's funny how when you're when something's on your mind, the right passage seems to appear at these meetings. In going through and going through the fourth step over a while and making amends, step nine, I'm at a point now where I'm not starting, but looking at my living amends to my family, and it's a new territory for me, and part of me, it's a living amends, and I have to hold fast to God right now because, you know, my compulsive overeating did damage my family, and I am just seeing that now, and these living amends I make, I don't know what to do, but I know that my higher power does, and I cannot make these amends going backwards. I have to hold fast to God and take his guidance and, you know, and get support from the community when I have questions on how to proceed. But this is so important to me that that I get this right. You know, I have amends to make to my family. And, you know, whether they forgive me or not, you know, I that's in God's hands, but I have to do my part. And I think in sponsoring someone, you know, I need to show that a reliance on God, no matter how hard it can be, so that I can help my family, and I can proceed the way that God wants me to. So having that relationship with God gives me the guidance on how to proceed and how to make that living amends. I'm a totally changed person from who I was when my kids were growing up. And I think they see that. Thank you, God, for that. And, you know, and just please, you know, I just pray that I can continue to spread this message not only to other compulsive overeaters, but also to family and friends who are hurting as well. I'm just so grateful for this program. And I'm grateful for this guidance. This passage this morning is just what I needed. And with that, I will pass. I hope everyone has a great day.
Thank you, Marie B. And thank you, everyone, for your really fabulous and amazing shares this morning. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Laura W., would you please read A Vision for You?
Thank you, Kathleen. Good morning. It's Laura W., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.